Hey, I'm Anderson Cooper. Thanks for watching the 360 podcast. We are in Baghdad again for this podcast with all the latest on what's happening on the ground. Let's get started. For the first time in more than a decade, the headline tonight is chemical weapons in Iraq. That is the breaking news. Chemical weapons. New reporting that Sunni extremist fighters have taken a former chemical weapons production plant that still contains a stockpile of old weapons, apparently. Our Nick Robertson is working sources here. He's actually been to that plant years ago. He's going to join us in a moment. Jim Sciutto is working at the Pentagon. We'll talk to all of them ahead. The news also, another headline today, capping what President Obama this afternoon called a key moment for Iraq, a moment, he says, when the fate of this country hangs in the balance. One last chance for the political leadership here to get its act together and somehow keep this country together. The president made it plain what's tearing Iraq apart at its core is political. That's the long-term problem, he believes, and it has to be the long-term solution. But because the immediate problem is military, Sunni forces rampaging, while the Iraqi army cuts and runs in many cases in the north, Mr. Obama today offered military help and American military personnel, not, he says, to fight, but to advise the Iraqi military. Shortly after laying out the plan, he got a reminder, as if any commander-in-chief needs one, of the consequences of any decision to send Americans to danger zones, or in this case, back into them. He presented the Medal of Honor, to retired Marine Corps machine gunner William Kyle Carpenter, who jumped between a Taliban grenade and his buddies in Afghanistan's Helmand province. Corporal Carpenter, who was nearly given up for dead, spent 2.5 years in the hospital. Tonight, we'll look at what sending advisors and planning airstrikes can do for the situation here. But here's some of the key moments from President Obama earlier today.
First, we are working to secure our embassy and personnel operating inside of Iraq. Second, at my direction, we have significantly increased our intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance assets so that we've got a better picture of what's taking place inside of Iraq. Third, the United States will continue to increase our support to Iraqi security forces. American forces will not be returning to combat in Iraq, but we will help Iraqis as they take the fight to terrorists who threaten the Iraqi people, the region, and American interests as well. Fourth, in recent days, we've positioned additional U.S. military assets in the region. Because of our increased intelligence resources, we're developing more information about potential targets associated with ISIL. And going forward, we will be prepared to take targeted and precise military action if and when we determine that the situation on the ground requires it. Finally, the United States will lead a diplomatic effort to work with Iraqi leaders and the countries in the region to support stability in Iraq. Above all, Iraqi leaders must rise above their differences and come together around a political plan for Iraq's future. Shia, Sunni, Kurds, all Iraqis must have confidence that they can advance their interests and aspirations through the political process rather than through violence. Meanwhile, the United States will not pursue military options that support one sect inside of Iraq at the expense of another. There's no military solution inside of Iraq, certainly not one that is led by the United States. What's clear from the last decade is the need for the United States to ask hard questions before we take action abroad, particularly military action.